Happy Easter! Christ is risen! Alleluia! Dear people of God, Christ's victory over death means our life and our salvation. On this Easter, even in our isolation, we celebrate that promise with Christians throughout the world. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin our time together by going to God in prayer. On this Easter Sunday, we raise our hearts in praise to you, dear God, even as we remain in our homes for the protection of all. Thank you for your Son and his sacrifice. Thank you for the power of the resurrection, which offers hope for all humanity. Heavenly Father, bless your church throughout the world, and we pray for our congregation here in Logansport. May we prosper your name and witness to your love as we minister together in this community. Help all your children, wherever they worship you, to live together in love and unity. Send your Spirit upon the church, that by word and deed she may bring new hope to the world. In your kingdom, Father, all are your children and all are one in you. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. By your might, break the bondage that bigotry and hatred impose on their victims and on their perpetrators. Ruler of all, we pray for our land and for all lands. We pray for our president and for all heads of state. Help those who influence the lives of nations to rule faithfully, wisely, and to strive in this time especially for cooperation, for the peace of the world, for the good of all peoples. Bless those we love, dear Father, our families and friends. Keep them safe from the virus. Keep them safe from danger. Guard them with your peace. We pray for those who have offended us in our lives or done us wrong. We ask that you will take from our hearts all spite and bitterness and help us to live in joyful peace. Support us, we pray, when we stumble, and lead us in the path of truth through Christ our Lord. We bring before you those in special need, dear God. Those who are sick, we hold up to you. Marianne, Virginia, Josh, Becky, Paul, Esma, Kay, Jacob, Bill and Susan, Bob, Joy, Peggy, Don, Debbie, Randy, Marilyn, Meta, Bobby, Judy, and Betty's sister, Phyllis. Bring healing and comfort, we pray. Be too with all who are hungry or homeless, those suffering from addiction or imprisonment. May they find restoration. Help us to open our hearts and our lives to those in need as you command us to. We pray for the sorrowful, dear Father, and the grieving. Sustain them by your grace through this time. And God, our peace and our strength, we pray for our nation and for the world in this time as we face new uncertainties around the coronavirus. Protect the most vulnerable among us, especially all who are currently sick or in isolation. Grant wisdom, patience, and clarity to healthcare workers, especially as they work caring for others. Guide us as we consider how best to prepare and respond in our families and congregations, workplaces, and communities. Give us courage to face these days not with fear, but with compassion, concern, and acts of service, trusting that you abide with us always and that Christ's victory over death gives us the assurance to go forward in joy and hope. And we pray, God, as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive us our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading for this Easter Sunday is taken from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" Thus far, the reading of the word. So what about that sassy angel? On the morning that Jesus rose from the dead, Matthew reports a great earthquake as an angel descends from heaven. The angel rolls the stone away, and then he sits on it. Can't you just see him? The Roman guards are frozen, helpless in fear, and the angel looks at them from the rock, a self-satisfied look on his face, and, ankles crossed, he swings his feet. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. You know, there was a thunderstorm last week, and as I lay in bed, a crack of white light flashed through the room, brilliantly, startlingly bright. His appearance was like lightning. The angel knows the effect he's having on the guards, frozen like dead men. He doesn't bother to address them. They are no longer entities in the story. The women, the two Marys, witness all of this. The angel, sitting primly on the stone, now turns his attention to them. He seems to know exactly what to say, too. He seems to have been thoroughly schooled on his mission down to earth. "Go down to the tomb," I imagine he was told, "and move the rock out of the way, but remember when you do, those poor mortals are going to have a hard time of it. They don't even know you exist. They believe their physical surroundings are the only reality that does exist. The energy of your presence is going to blow them away." The angel knows the effect he has on the mortals who encounter him. He knows he has to reassure the women if he wants them to be able to process the message he has come to give them. He begins by calming them. "Do not be afraid," he says to the women. Then he reassures them that he understands. "I know why you're here. You're looking for Jesus." He tells them, "He's not here." But this bald statement of truth maybe is too hard for them to understand, so he offers evidence. "Come, see the place where he lay. See for yourself." Did they go into the tomb, do you think? Actually walk past the angel on the stone and look in? Finally, the angel reminds the women of Jesus' own teachings about all of this. "He's not here. He has been raised, just as he said." The angel moves the women from their initial shock to comfort and reassurance. He invites them to see for themselves, and finally he reminds them of Jesus' own teachings. And now the women are ready to hear what it is they are being called to do. "This is my message for you," says the angel. "Go quickly, tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead." And Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went. They ran with fear and joy. The angel knows his business. He knows how to deal with mortals and all of our ignorance about the true complexity of the universe. He knows how to deal with mortals and all of our self-centered view of reality. We have a hard time believing, really believing, that there is anything of importance beyond our senses, what we can see and hear and feel and touch. Angels? Jesus on earth and now in heaven? God with us now? Really? People, for the most part, don't like the idea of God mucking about in our physical creation. We want to see God in beautiful church buildings, or find God in uplifting, inspiring worship services. We might look for God by going to our special quiet time corner, or by taking out time to practice meditation. Or maybe we wait to see God when we practice our yoga. And those are all legitimate things to do. We do need to take a break from the everyday sometimes to be able to consciously turn our mind and our hearts to God. But too often, we look for the divine only by stepping outside of everyday life. We say we appreciate that Jesus lived life as we live it, but we can find it disconcerting to imagine Jesus in the barn as we're cleaning it out, or to imagine Jesus with us as we haul laundry down to be washed. We don't often think of Jesus with us when the car won't start, or the potatoes are boiling over, or the family just won't cooperate, so we're running late again. We claim to believe that Jesus walked this earth and shared our human experiences, but we usually prefer to keep Jesus as a safe spiritual reality. One we come to when we have time, when we've washed up, when we can step aside from the mess of daily living. But if you read the Gospels, you find that Jesus was almost always in the middle of the unlovely, unruly, messy situations of life. The poor and those looked down upon, that's where Jesus was. Sleeping in the rank bottom of a fisherman's boat, pressed in on all sides by smelly crowds of the sick and the beggars, the blind and the lame. Is Jesus really here in the midst of this mess we find ourselves in today? Can we really believe God is present with us as we shelter in our homes in fear and trembling, that Jesus cares for us as we look anxiously for the number of cases of the virus in our community today? Do we even want the Spirit's presence as we watch with exasperation, turn to our leaders and find them contradicting each other instead of leading us together? How prepared are we to believe the news of Jesus' resurrection on this Easter morning? We're pretty wrapped up in our present, unprecedented, unfathomable reality, almost as unfathomable a reality as the one Mary and Mary had just lived through. 3 days of seeing their whole world fall to ruin, seeing Jesus, whom they had staked their lives on, tortured and killed. What gloom and dismay and hopelessness they must have been feeling. And then, when they tried to do the one thing they had some control over, the one thing they could do, go to the tomb and honor their loved one, there was that angel. What were they going to do with the angel? You know, in Sunday school, we studied Lee Strobel, an investigative journalist for the Chicago Tribune. He had set out to find evidence for the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. He set out to find the kind of evidence journalists use to confirm a story. Strobel did a great job of it, using historical documents, interviews of scholars, whatever empirical evidence he could uncover. And he did find more convincing evidence than I imagined one could. But Strobel was not able to interview Jesus himself,
He did not unearth that angel who spoke to Mary to tell her she would give birth to Jesus, or this angel who rolled the stone away. So what are we going to do about this angel? Are we going to deny that he was really there? Are we going to believe that he was and then freeze in fear at the possibility of realities beyond our senses? Or are we going to possibly accept and listen and believe? James Lowry, a retired self-professed old preacher, in a poem, he was reflecting with God on how it is and why it is that he came to believe the resurrection. It wasn't because of the evidence that some people had put forth. It wasn't because of a blinding vision given by God. It wasn't because of his deep study of Scripture or his profound experience of the risen Christ. He says of his coming to believe in the resurrection that it was mostly because of 1,000 angels, not many of them dressed in white, 1,000 angels who loved me and who told me the stories of you and your love, pondered with me their meaning, and lived with me their truth. Parents, grandparents, teachers, preachers, church, and friends who set me on the path to believe, to hear you call my name, who gave me eyes to see you. In other words, Lowry came to believe. He came to know Jesus and his saving work. He came to believe in the resurrection through the witness of Jesus' work in the lives of the many people he shared his life with. So what have you come to believe about Jesus and the resurrection from your life and the lives of the people you know? Pastor Scott Hoosey says the first verse of John 20 tells us the whole story of Easter began while it was still dark. Easter begins in darkness. The resurrection comes to us from out of all of our darkness, he says. So what have you learned from the dark times of your life? This week, my family has been sharing World War II accounts from my parents' experience in the Netherlands. My father explains that several men were executed in the small towns and villages of their province, Friesland, during the war. Executed due to the betrayal of one of their fellow countrymen, a person they all knew. This week was the anniversary of the execution by the Germans of my mother's uncle, the 75th anniversary of his execution. My mother's family saw across the fields the black wagon stopped at her uncle's farm. They heard the shot. My grandfather hurriedly gave my mother instructions for her duties as a courier for the underground as he left for his hiding place. That Saturday after Easter in 1945 was a dark day for my mother's family. But my mother and her family held the hope and promise of Easter to see them through that time. And my mother always celebrated Easter, celebrated with great joy. This is part of my experience. The hope and joy of Easter my mother expressed even after that dark Eastertide day. Death did not have the last word. Evil did not prevail. Suffering did not endure forever. Holland was liberated just months later. So what has been your experience? What are you taught by your life and the lives of those you see around you? Given what you have experienced of God's grace, even in this uncertain time, what do you make of the angel? What do you make of the angel who said, "He is not here, he has risen," just as he said? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.